somewhere out of the darkness. Your light will always shine, fair as the moon, bright as the sun. Oh, I believe you will lead me on.
Afternoons, afternoons with Shell. Afternoons, find some tunes with Shell.
Welcome to the last Afternoons with Shell show. This is our last live show. You might get some repeats here and there, but this is a sad day, I guess, but also means that new things are coming, and yeah, this season is passing, but a new one will enter in, which is always exciting as well. We just had a song by Claire Lynch, Lead Me On, beautiful bluegrass song there by her, which was all about asking for guidance and leadership. That is not the theme today. The theme today is actually the farewells of Paul. I thought that we could just share some of his beautiful insights when he was saying goodbye to all of the different cities and in the different books that he wrote. So we're going to go through some of those together today. Our number here is 04-888-8085-6. Question of the day will be at 5 o'clock. So we have our themed section for an hour and a half, and then question of the day, which will then be followed by drive time, which will be taken over in Adelaide. So if you would like to send in any farewell texts, I would love to hear from you. And I got a really lovely one from Alec, and it says, Shell, your show has been such a blessing. The way you linked Bible verses to music was so unique and powerful, and it's encouraged me to look deeper into faith and Jesus. I'll really miss Afternoons with Shell. Alex from the Central Coast. Oh, what a blessing. That is very encouraging. And I know that you can still find them all on the podcast, and I hope that you will revisit them when need be. But something new and good will be coming up in this space, and I'm sure you will love it as well. Our passage that we're going to start with is in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. We'll start there, I think 27 and 28. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's a beautiful thing to say when you're leaving, to have that faith that you know that you have given the truth, you've given the message, and now they can shepherd and lead as well. And I hope that you all can feel that you have learned some things here from the looking up, I mean, from the wrong show there, from the Afternoons with Shell show, and that you can also be sharing those with others. I am excited that the breakfast show will be extending and that we will be able to share more wonderful things from the Bible there. And so that's where I'll be transitioning my time, but I will be missing this space as well. Right now, we're going to listen to a couple more songs just on leading, for us to lead others and to be led by God. So this is Gavin Chatelier first with Lead Me, Guide Me, and then Sanctus Real with Lead Me.
Won't you lead me? I'm tired and I need thy strength and power to guide me over my darkest hour. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see. Lead me, O Lord. won't you leave me? Leave me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see. Lead me, oh Lord, won't you lead me? I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be. Lead me, oh Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see. Lead me, oh Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, oh Lord, won't you lead me?
Of your
love that song by Sanctus Real. Lead Me, and before that, Lead Me, Guide Me by Gavin Chatelier. You're listening to Afternoons with Shell, 04-888-808-56. David has texted in, "We'll miss my buddy who does her best to play my favorite artist, Alan Jackson." I love it. I have slid in a song for you. It's going to be right before the question of the day because it goes along with what I'm going to say then. So you'll have to stay listening for the whole show. We are going through some different farewells from Paul, and we're starting in Acts chapter 20, and we read a couple of verses there, but now we're going to just continue that farewell, the good advice that he's giving to the people from verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples from themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" I love how much confidence he is exuding there. You know, he started off in the passage that we had read before that he does not shun to declare that the truth of God. You know, he was very bold, but he was also very humble. I've got a few songs on humility. I'm going to be talking about humility at the Woman's Day conference coming up in November. And so this theme is on my mind at the moment as I'm thinking and preparing what I'm going to share there. And there's some beautiful thoughts that can come from being both bold and strong and courageous and still being humble. And that humbleness is all about putting others first, caring for others, and letting God clothe you in himself and surrendering over that to him to do. Even when we feel weak and that we feel useless, I know that when I started this show, I certainly was like, there's no way I can do anything like this. And it's certainly not, you know, anything like Robbie Bergen could do or anyone like that, because I am not a deep theologian, but I've found a different way to be able to share the things that I feel touch my heart and that reveal the truth still in a different capacity. And I am looking forward to seeing what the next show will do that's in this space as well in that capacity. But we all can hand the mantle on, you know, when we've done our bit as well. And I'm grateful for that. And that is also part of humility. So we're going to start with Humble Heart by Jess Ray, and then Weak Proudly by Jillian Edwards. These two really, I think, are me to a T. So I hope that you can relate as well.
I want a humble heart. Oh, I have so much to learn. I want a humble heart. Oh, how I have so much to learn. Yes, I want a humble heart. Oh, how I have so much to learn. Oh, how I have so much to learn. 'Cause pride, it isn't worth it. It makes me lonely, leaves me stranded. When I never wanted to be alone. And it'll all
Proudly.
So is it all right to let you take the floor? I don't want to sit on this throne anymore. Finally found my home here at your feet. I lift my head and our eyes meet. I expect you to look away, find somebody better suited, but you keep on looking at me. All of a sudden I'm proud of the emptiness inside me, proud of the way you fill me up. All the better if I'm at the end of myself. Stuck in my reflection, knocking on the glass, thinking I'll find my own way. I can move past all the filth and mud stained on my skin. Guess I'll work on myself, try it again. And I expect you to be polite and wait outside while I clean up, but you bust down the door to me. All of a sudden I'm proud of the emptiness inside me, proud of the way you fill me. Yourself with me, all my stains. I cover myself, I cover myself with you. You covered yourself. yourself, you covered yourself with me. So I cover myself with you.
Proudly There by Jillian Edwards. You're listening to Afternoons with Shell. And still on the theme from Acts chapter 20, but not from Paul, I wanted to share a text just on that thought of humility, because that passage was all about us taking up the mantle and being shepherds for others. And how can we do that unless we have accepted that you know, that God has given us that ability, that we can be shepherds, that we can lead, that we can guide. And I love the passage in Mark 12, verse 31, that says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But we often don't think about those last two words. We're like, okay, yep, love my neighbor, love everybody, gotta love everybody. But it says as yourself. And so you can't, You have to love yourself. You have to want to be able to care for yourself, or else you can't care for anybody else. And I think that that's a really powerful thought for somebody who, like myself, is very self-conscious and doesn't think that they're capable of a lot of things, you know. But I know that God has called me to just step into things even when I might make a fool of myself, you know. Let it be on him, because I'm willing, you know. So as long as we are willing to jump in there and do what needs done for the sake of everybody else, so that we can share his message with them, then he will fill in that lack, you know. And that is what true humility is. Let's listen to the Isaacs now with "The Least That I Can Do."
The least I can do is live for him. Well, he chose me.
Well, he chose me.
When I could not choose
when
him.
When I could not choose him.
Well, he loved me.
Well, he loved
long
me.
Before I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he died
for me at Calvary.
Long before
ooh,
my life began.
The least I can do is live for him.
I'm glad he said, Father,
Father, forgive,
Father, forgive, Father, forgive,
Father, forgive
them,
Father, forgive, Father, forgive,
for they know,
not what they do.
Yes, he was talking to the multitude there that day, but I know he was
thinking
about me and you. Well, he chose me.
Well, he chose me.
When I could not choose
when
him.
When I could not choose him.
Well, he loved me.
Well, he loved
long
me.
Before I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he died
for
me long before
ooh,
my life began.
The least I can do
is live for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know he had mercy.
Oh, he had mercy.
Let me tell you about mercy.
God's been mercy.
About Jesus' love and wondrous grace. Well, he sought me.
Bought me.
Saved me. It keeps me
in
every day, leads me, and someday I'm gonna thank him face to face.
Oh yeah.
Well, he chose me.
Well, he chose me.
When I could not choose
when
him.
When I could not choose him.
Well, he loved me.
Well, he loved me.
Long before I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he died
for me,
long before my life began.
The least I can do
is live for him.
Well, he chose me.
Well, he chose me. When I could not choose
when
him.
When I could not choose him.
Well, he loved me.
Well, he loved
long
me.
Before I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he died
for me
long before ooh, my life began.
The least I can do
is live for him.
Mm-hmm.
The least I can do.
Amen to that. We can do that too. Here's the Rochesters with Bow the Knee. Reverence and respect and diligence towards our God to do our part, to be humble.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee.
Rochester's there with Bow the Knee. I like a lot of their songs, but that one is right up there in my top favorites of theirs. And it's just a beautiful song about humbly surrendering over to God so that He can use you and so that you are open to His leading and guiding in your life. I love it. Next, we're going to move into Philippians and chapter 4. Before we go there, though, just the phone number one last time and a couple of text messages that have come through. The text line here is 04-888-808-56. Now, we have pre-recorded question of the day because Lyle is in Byron Bay doing a presentation this evening, so he wouldn't be able to do that live section. So we did it this morning. We recorded it, and you'll be listening to it at 5 o'clock, those questions. So no questions that get sent in now will get answered this afternoon, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't send them in. Just because this show is ending doesn't mean question of the day is. Question of the day will be continuing, so send in those questions. And there, it will be in the same time, same place, but there might be a few weeks where it is transitioning across. So, but do send in questions. We will need them, so send them through. Okay, that housekeeping is done. Let's just read a nice passage here from Philippians. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I love that. How heartfelt and beautiful. You can see how much love he has for each and every one of them, you know, and he's telling them to stand strong in the Lord, you know, as he's entreating them to get the work done, to establish the work while he is gone. This next song is by the Porter's Gates. It's called Establish the Work of Our Hands.
Don't build it, we labor in vain. Without your spirit, we stand with no strength. I know my time is passing away, and the works of your hands, what will remain? Let the favor of the Lord rest upon. Thank you.
love that one. It's from Psalms 90, verse 17, really. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. But there's also some of Paul mentioned in there, run the race, do all of those kind of things that he always encouraged us to do as well. We're going to go into a triple play here in a minute. I did say I was going to read some text messages, and then I ran out of time in that last segment. Alex has texted in, happy last show, Shell. I've enjoyed tuning in. It has been an uplifting and encouraging experience. Thanks. And thank you for that. That's very encouraging to me. And David has texted in too, I love scriptures with beloved cause. It's because it's my name, David. Yeah. I say, thanks, Lord, because I'm your beloved. That's right. I love it too. You know that him calling us the beloved, it's so encouraging, and it should give us worth, you know, that he loves us so much and he created us in his image, you know, so we are worthy. Our next section is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me just get there real quick. And starting in verse 13, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of I'm just going to skip ahead because I'm running short on time. But basically it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, and be strong. Let's just leave it with that. Let all that you do be done in love. I've got three songs. This is our triple play now. And they are all about being watchmen. So we're going to start with the liturgical folk with Psalms 130. And then we've got Go Tell It on the Mountain. Yes, I love it because we are to be witnessing to others and be the watchman. And listen for it in there. You will hear it. And then after that, we've got Josh Garrels with just his song called Watchman.
Out of the dead, have I called to you, O Lord? Lord, hear my voice, let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for my home. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the soul waits for him in his
Beautiful song there by Liturgical Folk. And now we got Brandon Heath's version of Go Tell It on the Mountain.
The shepherds can't be watching over silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens is shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. He made me a watchman upon the city wall. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. So go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Climb up to the summit, survey the broken land. For God so loved the people that he lowered his own hand. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born.
Now we got one of my favorite artists, Josh Garrels, here with Watchman.
If I'm fully honest, waiting on your promise, even through the trauma, swept my friends away. The darkness is upon us, the death of saints and psalmists, but I will sing my song for you anyway. 'Cause you're all I have, Lord. You are the, and I'll always love you, and I will wait. Like a watchman at the gate, waiting for morning to
Our triple play there, Psalms 130, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and Watchmen, all songs that talk about the importance of being those soldiers for the Lord. Now we're going to talk about one of the passages that Paul ends his letter with, probably one of the most, deep or heartfelt. I don't know how to describe it, but he says in Colossians 4, verse 18, he says, "This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen." In some ways, it's kind of like that friend who's always like, "Oh, remember that time I saved your life? You owe me favors, blah, blah, blah." But I know that he's just trying to reiterate just how much he sacrificed and loved and was willing to do for them, and that he is hoping that that means that they will also reciprocate, you know. And his chains are nothing compared to the nail-scarred hands, you know. So, but it is a level of sacrifice. He's wanting them to remember, you know, that he gave all for them and that he loves them. And I think that that is a really beautiful sentiment to end his letter with, you know, just to show just how much he was willing to do for them. Now we're going to listen to Sovereign Grace, My Life is an Offering, and then One Clear Voice, I'm Trying to Be Like Jesus.
Thank you. soul and my mind in strength. Cleansed by your mercy to live a life worthy of the one who called my name. Jesus be glorified, Jesus be magnified. Let me be a pleasing sacrifice. Jesus be glorified, find it in you. I choose to lose my life, Lord, and find it in you. I choose to lose my life, Lord, and find it in you. Thank you.
clear voice, I'm trying to be like Jesus. Love one another. These are the things Jesus taught us to do. Strive to be like him. Put yourself in a situation where you can be a servant, where you are serving others, and where you are building people up. Building up was a major theme of Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Romans 14, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mortal upbuilding. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. 1 Corinthians 14:12, so with yourself, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up. 2 Corinthians 13:10, the Lord gave me authority for building up and not for tearing down. Love it. Beautiful passages there. There's more there beside, but he wanted us to be a community. He wanted us to be a tight-knit group of community that is not pulling each other down, not gossiping, not judging, not thinking more of yourself than of others, but of being in biblical unity, the true unity of love for your brothers and sisters. Let's listen to Sarah Groves with the beautiful song, Blessed Be the Tie.
Before our Father's throne, we pour out ardent prayer. Our fears and hopes are one, our comforts and our cares. Blessed be the tie that binds our heart in Christian love. We share
song there. I love that one. And yeah, that one really makes me think about the farewell. And yeah, I'm super excited. You know, I mean, I'll be hanging around, and I hope you all visit me on the breakfast show with the guys there. And yeah, make yourself a morning person if you're not, you know, because that show is worth listening to. So it's going to be for 3 hours starting soon, and from 6 a.m. till 9 a.m., which is the gold standard for breakfast shows. We want to be out there competing with the best of them so that you can want to be able to get the good content right here with us. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. That's one of the closing remarks that he's given to Timothy. You know, take care of the purse, take care of the things that I have left with you. You are in charge. Take it on. And, you know, I trust in your ability to be faithful. Our next song is by Brooke Fraser, and it is called Faithful. Our number here is 04-888-8056. We're running out of time. Soon it's going to be question of the day.
There's distance in the air, and I cannot make it leave. I wave my arms round about me and blow with all my might. I cannot sense you close, though I know you're always here. But the comfort of you near is what I long for. When I can't feel you, I have learned to reach out just the same. When I can't hear you, I know you still hear every word I pray. And I want you more than I want to live another day. And as I wait for you, maybe I'm made faithful. Oh, the folly of the past, though I know it isn't done, I still feel the guilty one, still trying to make it right. So I whisper soft your name, let it roll around my tongue, knowing you're the only one who knows me. You know me. When I can't feel you, I have learned to reach out just the same.
is Brooke Fraser there with Faithful, and that's how I feel too, you know? You gotta sometimes feel our inadequacies so that we will surrender all and know that He is in charge and leading, and be faithful to Him, and He will make us faithful in our duties, you know? So, and I have a guest in the studio here. Shells has joined me. She wanted to pop in.
I had to pop in just ever so briefly.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be quite right if you didn't come on here and say farewell with me, because you have been faithfully filling in for me and by my side right through these last, I guess, 6 months or so especially. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, I have. So I have some words for Shell, and I hope that I'm speaking on behalf of others. For almost 3 years, like Paul, you have labored unceasingly for your listeners. You have been bold, courageous, yet humble. You have loved, laughed, cried, and been a friend to each of us. We have shared in your joys and sorrows and been privileged to share in your Thursday afternoon. You're going to make me cry, Shell, in your Thursday afternoons. I didn't use ChatGPT, okay? You have ministered to each of us, reminded us of the simplicity and the love of Christ and the good news of the gospel. You have passionately shared your love and knowledge of music, and this gift has blessed us and filled our souls with worship and praise. We will miss afternoons with Shell. You know, if I had my choice, you'd not be going off anywhere from this show. We would be keeping it. But other things are happening, and you have a longer segment in the breakfast show, so we understand that. My funniest memories are you running around the office trying to find Lyle. One time I even remember happening to jump in the driver's seat because you were running late because you couldn't find him. I've loved our laughs, the times that your show has uplifted and ministered to my soul, our laughing silly over the bloopers. There's only one Shell, and yet you opened your heart and show and shared it with me to be the double Shell team, or as David says, the two seashells. May God abundantly bless your extended breakfast show, and I pray that you will keep reaching all your listeners through the breakfast show. So thankfully you're not fully going. We can still hear you on air.
Thank you for popping in, and I didn't know that was you asked me before the show, are you going to cry? I'm like, no, I'm not going to cry, but thank you for making me cry.
You wanted to. I have a couple of Bible verses that I believe is who you are as a friend. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. You have been that to your listeners. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Thank you for being a friend in all times. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. And the last one is carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You have truly been these Bible verses to me, and I know your listeners shall. And I will still listen to your show in the repeats because I absolutely love it. It is my favorite show on Faith FM, and I am so thankful for it.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I think we need to go to a song now. So let's go to, we got to have a vintage song or else it's just not me. So here's the Zion Travelers. Am I a Soldier of the Cross?
I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm fighting for the until I gain my victory. I walk on liberty. Ever since I've been a soldier, Jesus Christ has been in command. I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus Promised Land. I'll fight and I'll pray and I serve God every day. Oh, I won't stop fighting on till the judgment day. 'Cause I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm fighting for the Lord.
would say. When your burden gets so heavy, get out on your knees and pray.
I'll fight and I'll pray, brother, serve God every day. Oh, I won't stop fighting until the judgment day,
'cause I'm a soldier. Until I gain my victory, I won't go on liberty.
Oh, thank you to the Zion Travelers there. I am a soldier of the cross. They helped me to be able to get my composure again after Shell's popped in. That was a blessing. And Claudia sent through a message. Dear Shell, I've absolutely loved your show and always looked forward to Thursday Avos. You'll be sorely missed. Thank you for your faithful ministry. May God continue to bless you and all you do. Warmest Christian love from your sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, Claudia. Oh, love that. Thank you so much. I'm going to miss this for sure, but it was my decision. I feel that it's the right one so that we can get the breakfast show, which has a much bigger listenerhood, you know, to be able to accomplish the great things that need to be done. You know, I really feel like we probably don't have too much time left on the radio before things start closing down as far as freedom of speech is concerned. And so we have a lot that we need to get said in the time that we can. And I want to be part of that as well, you know, but I think that there is definitely a space for this, but I just really want to be able to focus on that, I guess, you know, but somebody else will pick up the mantle here, I'm sure. Our closing verse is going to be from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. I love that. It's such a beautiful closing. You know, just be complete. Be of good courage. And be of one mind. All of those things that we've sort of been covering, he sort of gives here to the Corinthians, doesn't he? But so I just want to say farewell to you all. And I want to stroll over heaven with you. Here's Alan Jackson, and then we got Eclipse 6.
If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal king, and I'm sure that he'd grant it again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, to together we'll stand anew. While I stroll over heaven with you, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
And our last song for the last show is going to be Eclipse 6. May the good Lord bless and keep you. And this is my prayer for each and every one of you listening, and that you will all stay faithful. Stay listening to Faith FM. It'll continue to be a blessing to you, I'm sure. And make sure you stay tuned for Question of the Day.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. May you find that long awaited golden day. Troubles all be small ones, and your blessings 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
May you walk with sunlight shining, silver lining
back of every cloud you see. Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet
Starting October 6th, the Faith FM breakfast show with Scaffy and Lawson gets longer. Now, a full 3 hours. More quizzes, more good news, more prophecy insights, and yes, even more like Him. Tune in for your morning boost with God, only here on Faith FM.
Afternoons with Shell.
Question of the day.
And Lyle is here with us on the phone with us to answer all your Bible questions. And we've gotten 3 in since last week's show, starting off with Freco, who says, "Hi, Lyle. Some time ago, I sent a message about Psalms 22. Is it right that the first 22 verses are inspired by Jesus and the last part is inspired by the Father? Love and God bless, Freco."
Yeah, really interesting question here. And it comes down to, in many ways, how the Bible comes to us. The Bible comes to us as holy men of old were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they wrote those things down under inspiration. And the reason that we know that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit rather than dictated by the Holy Spirit is because every author of the Bible has their own unique, style of writing. If it would have been dictated by the Holy Spirit, as in each, word-for-word dictation, there would only be one style running from one end of the Bible to the other. But instead of that, what we've got is a multitude of different styles of writing. And you can often, pick up a particular verse, or you might hear a particular verse and, like, it says, "Son of man, do such and such." And everybody's going to know instinctively that is a Bible student, well, that's coming from Ezekiel. And, you might pick up another Bible verse that, talking about the love of God, and it could very, very clearly be sounding like, 1 John or 2 John or 3 John, one of the Gospels of John. Because John liked to talk a lot about the love of God. It was one of his major themes. And so if we look at how the Bible is actually inspired, how it comes to us, the Bible says it was inspired when holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we have to go with that particular passage of Scripture because that is the one that we have. And as a result of that, our conclusion would then be that the book of Psalms comes to us inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing anywhere in the Bible where the Bible talks about the Bible being inspired by the Father or by the Son. So the verse that we're looking at, of course, is in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were inspired or moved by the Holy Spirit." Now, that does not mean that the Father and the Son are not involved, because very, very clearly, the Godhead is perfectly united in thought, in deed, in action. There are three persons in the Godhead that are distinct from each other, and we're probably going to talk a little bit about that in one of the other questions that came in. So we know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all work together. For instance, at creation, you find that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the next verse, you find that the Spirit of God moved on the waters. And then in Colossians, it says, "And by him, by Jesus, everything was made that was made." And so we find that, typically what you've got is all three members of the Godhead working together. In the baptism of Jesus, you've got the Father speaks from heaven, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove, and the Son comes up out of the water. And so we would assume, based on that principle, that all three of them are working together. It is certainly the mind of all three of them that comes through in any portion of the Bible.
Okay.
And so the answer to that question would be that, according to Scripture, the entirety of Psalms 22 was inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Okay. That's really good.
Question of the day.
Our next question is from Tim. It says, question of the day. What is the effect of society on pornography? It is good, neutral, bad? Does the Bible address it?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. And the answer to that is yes, because pornography has been around for a very, very long time. If you go back into the ancient world, of course, and, probably a great example of that would be the hidden room or the secret room in the Napoli Museum, which contains a lot of the pornography that came out of Herculaneum and mostly out of Pompeii. And what you're going to find there, that it was really seriously explicit. In fact, it's kind of one of those places when you do a little bit of walk through that room, you come out the other side and you feel like you need to have some brain bleach poured through your head to be able to, there are some things that just, once they're seen, they can't be unseen. And so, there is nothing new about pornography. What's new about pornography is its availability. So that's what has changed. And that changed really with the invention of the internet. And so young people that have grown up in the last, 30 years or so have had a very different exposure to people who grew up, in a previous era when, my era was as a kid was the era of dirty magazines and so forth. Okay, so there's a number of different questions here. What does the Bible have to say about it? What effect does it have on society? And what effect does it have, you know, on the brain and so forth, the physical effect. So first of all, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the Bible says this, "But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." And so this is really the foundation of pornography. It's the reason why pornography exists. It exists for the express purpose of people being able to lust. And what is interesting here is that, you know, the Bible particularly addresses men in this verse. But of course, the opposite applies. Typically, that's the way the Bible is written. It is written in a way that addresses men because that was the culture of the time, but obviously applies both ways. And this is a massive problem with both genders of our society, although it does lean more towards men. But in recent times, the statistics for women have been climbing very dramatically on the use of pornography. Another verse is first, yes, and kind of starting to catch up. Not all the way there yet, but definitely starting to catch up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, you've got this statement here, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which do not know God." And so once again, you've got this passage that is speaking about lust and speaking about how that lust is wrong. That's the foundation. That's the basis. That's the reason for the existence of pornography. Job made this statement. I love what Job said. He says, like, "I made a covenant with my eyes. Then why should I look upon a maid?" So, yeah, fantastic action there by Job. And, you know, one of the things that you find here is that, you know, Job is like, you know, this is just, it's what I've decided to do. I've made this decision. And made that decision with God, and he does it with the power of God.
Okay, wow.
And so, yeah, there's a number of passages here that indicate that, yeah, this is not something that is good or healthy for a Christian person to do. So then we've got to look at it from the perspective of the effects on society. And, of course, one of the major effects on society is that it fosters a culture of objectification. Typically in the past, that has been objectification of women. Once again, we recognize it is now increasingly the objectification of men, where they're seen primarily as, you know, men and women are seen as sexual objects. And that can influence attitudes towards consent and respect. And so that's an incredibly unhealthy attitude that we have in society. And what I find most fascinating is that we have this movement in society and like, oh, that's objectification, you can't have that. And oh, this is objectification, you can't have that. And the other is objectification, and so you can't have that. But there's no one out there speaking up against pornography.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, well, true. You've got the major driver of this particular aspect of culture. And why are you not addressing the root cause of it? Why are you complaining that human beings are objectifying? And, you know, why are you trying to make these laws so that, you know, you can't have, you know, objectification in the workforce, and you can't say this and you can't say that and you can't do the other, while you have this massive system that nobody is doing, and it wouldn't be hard to stop it. There's a massive system that nobody is doing anything about that is the driving force behind it. Now, when I was in the Islamic Republic of Iran and I went to jump onto my Facebook to, you know, post some photos up to show people where I was, as you do when you're traveling, and funnily enough, there's no such thing as Facebook in Iran. It has been blocked. Surprise, surprise. And so being able to block this kind of material is not hard, you know, particularly in the time of AI. AI can very, very quickly recognize what is pornography and block it. And so this would not be a difficult thing to do. Of course, coming back to effects on society, pornography often leads to a tolerance, which needs more and more extreme material to get the same effect. And what that does is it doesn't just drive objectification, but it drives users towards harmful or exploitative content that they then begin to consume on the screen, and then they begin to desire to actually do. And so that is a very, you know, this is one of the major driving forces behind, you know, incels. And, you know, we have this rising level of sexual abuse in a world where we know the effects of it. We know how bad it is. And yet we don't seem to be able to do anything to stop it. Well, look at the screens and you can sort of see why that is the case.
Yes.
And then, of course, you've got young people. You know, generally your young people are beginning to watch this at, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's the age bracket. And if you sit back there and say, as I've heard many, many parents say, oh, well, my child doesn't do that. I'm like, yes, your child does. Yeah, if your child has any access to screens, they do. Don't sit there and tell me that they don't. The only way that you can do that, that you can protect your child, is to have your screens only in the living room, only when the parents are present, and don't give them a smartphone. Because outside of that, your child is watching pornography. That is the simple reality. Okay, what
and
kind of a view?
And also if they're hanging out alone with other friends who do have those things.
Yeah.
So parents, beware.
That's right. And what you've got to recognize is that your children are. And so you've got to have these conversations with your children. You've got to educate your children in relationship to this kind of material. So looking at it here, what this does is that it gives a distorted view of what sexuality actually is. And so they grow up and they don't actually understand, you know, how God designed sexuality to be and how he designed it to be a healthy thing and a wonderful thing and a means of, you know, connection and so forth. So that's really bad for society. Then you've got, this is a huge subject to unpack.
It is.
Yeah. But, you know,
we got a bit more time.
Okay, we should talk about dopamine flooding. And this is the pleasure reward chemical. This is the same pathway that is hijacked by addictive drugs like cocaine. And this is what makes it incredibly addictive. And so people are, you know, they go down that path, they're always going back, looking for that next hit. Where's the next hit going to be? And so MRI studies, brain scans, show reduced activity in the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for self-control and decision-making, which is exactly the same pattern that you see in substance addictions. In fact, it mirrors the brain damage that is caused by alcohol use. And so an alcoholic, of course, it is the frontal lobe of the brain that becomes impacted. It is the frontal lobe of the brain that is eroded as a result of this, and physically. And it's exactly the same with the use of pornography. And so and people would say, well, how can pornography do that when a sexual relationship does the opposite? So a healthy sexual relationship is good for the brain. It is good for the body. It is good for everything. And the reason is this. When you are in a sexual relationship with another person, there is a different set of chemicals that is released when you are making love with another person. Whereas when you are by yourself, the chemicals that are released are out of balance. And so because they're out of balance, they're not the way that God designed it to be, and it creates harm rather than benefit. So, yeah, there's some thoughts on pornography and so forth. It is an unhealthy thing, an unhealthy part of society, and the Bible speaks against lusting.
Wow, so important. Thank you, Tim, for sending in that question, and hopefully that answers it for you. We've got one last question to get through. Hello, question of the day, team. Christ said in John 14, verse 28, that the Father is greater than the Son. He also said on numerous occasions that he came to fulfill the will of the Father. Christ also said in Matthew 24, 36, that only the Father knows the day. The scriptures also called Christ the anointed one of God. Paul in Ephesians 1, 3 called God the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. There are many other areas where Paul made this reference. What is the biblical origin of equating the Almighty God and Christ as having equal power when there is nothing like that in the Bible? And that is coming from Sadhu.
Good question, Sadhu. And the answer, and thank you for sending those verses through. I love it when people send me verses from the Bible. Your first verse there in John chapter 14 and verse 28, if you backed up from that verse just a few verses, you would find a fantastic biblical origin for equating Jesus, the Son of God, as being equal with the Father. But before we get there, we need to answer the question as to what are these verses talking about? Why does Jesus refer to the Father as his God? You know, that seems a very odd thing to do, and it seems to create a hierarchy where Jesus is less than the Father. And the answer to that question is found in Hebrews chapter 2. So let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm just going to pick out a couple of highlights. The entire chapter is dedicated to answering this question.
Okay.
So what's interesting is in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1 is all about, the entire chapter is all about showing that Jesus is equal with the Father. Hebrews chapter 2 is all about answering these verses where you have this hierarchy where Jesus is depicted as being lower than the Father. So chapter 1 is all about equal with the Father. Okay, then how do you explain all of the passages that say that he's lower with the Father? And the whole of Hebrews chapter 2 is about answering that particular question. Obviously a question that they had back in the day. And so Paul decides to address it, writes a whole chapter about it. Okay, notice here, I'm going to pick out some highlights. In verse 11 it says, "For both he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren." And here's the key. When Jesus came to this earth, he came as a human being so that he could be an example for us. If he came with in the nature of an angel, he could never be an example for us, because we know that an angel, you know, a sinless angel, has the ability to live a righteous life. If he came in his form as God, once again, there's no example for us, because we know that God can live a righteous life. We didn't need to know how an angel could live a righteous life. We didn't need to know how God could live a righteous life. We needed to know how a human could. So when Jesus comes to this earth, Jesus sets aside his divinity and lives his entire earthly life as a human being. Now, did he cease to be God? No. Is his divinity there, and can he pick it up anytime he wants? Absolutely. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, if he wanted to come down, he could have just stepped down off the cross. Yes. He could have reached out to his divinity, taken it back up, and stepped down. The only thing that the Roman nails did not keep Jesus on the cross, you and I did. Now, to emphasize this, and Paul really makes a point of it here, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." So he's giving a bunch of redundant words there. "He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Verse 16, "For truly he did not take on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. So he became a human being just like a descendant of Abraham." Verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it was best for him to be made like his brethren." Why? "So that he can be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help those that are tempted." And so if Jesus had come as God, and you know, Satan comes along with temptations, those temptations have no traction with God. But with a human being who is in all ways made like us, you know, the seed of Abraham, made like a descendant of Abraham, yeah, those temptations are incredibly powerful. And so here's the key. When Jesus is living here on this earth, He is subordinate to the Father in exactly the same way as we are. Does that then mean that Jesus stopped being equal to the Father? No, he was just living a different life. And if we go back to John chapter 14, where I think Sadhu started for us, so John chapter 14, and we back up a few verses, we find a great explanation of that. So John chapter 14, in verse 8, okay. Philip said to him, so John 14 verse 8, Philip said to him, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how then do you say, show us the Father? And so Jesus himself claims equality with the Father.
Love it. That's so good.
Yeah. And then he goes on. This is most interesting. He's like, yeah, I am the Father. I am equal with the Father. But he goes on, but I'm living a life here as a human being. And because I'm living a life as a human being, I am living an example for you. So he goes on, he says, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And so what Jesus goes on to say is like, look, I am equal to the Father. When you're looking at me, you are looking at the Father. It's as simple as that. But I'm living my life as a human so that I can be an example for you. And so as an example, you need to understand that what I do, you can do as well. And even greater things than what I do. So that's one of many passages. John has a bunch of them. If we go back to, let me see here, John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. They're equal. The Jews took up stones to throw at him. Jesus answered and said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because that you, being a man, make yourself God. And so the Jews had a very, very clear understanding of what Jesus was claiming in this passage. When Jesus says, I and my Father are one, they knew that he was claiming equality with the Father, and they wanted to stone him for it. If we go back to John chapter 8, there's an interesting one. But to give the John chapter 8 some context, you've got to go back to Exodus chapter 3. So if we go back to Exodus chapter 3, not Exodus chapter 3, sorry, Genesis chapter 18, I think it is, Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. And this is the big question right here. There's so much in the Bible that shows the equality between the Father and the Son. Okay, Genesis chapter 18, talking about Abraham. It says, the Lord appeared unto Moses in the plains, unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And so here you've got an interesting story where Jesus comes to visit Abraham and to talk about the city of Sodom. And for those of you who remember the story, Jesus tells Sodom, Jesus tells Abraham, Sodom is going to be destroyed by fire. And Abraham has a bit of a bargaining session with God. It's fascinating. You know, if there are 50 people there, will you destroy it? No. If there are 40, will you destroy it? No. If there are 10 there, will you destroy it? No. And that's where Abraham finishes. Well, as it turns out, there was kind of only one person there. And so God destroys it. And in verse 24, the Bible says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And I want you to notice the word Lord here is the capitalized Lord, so that's Yahweh.
Okay.
So you've got then Yahweh, watch this closely, then Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of heaven. So you've got Yahweh standing on earth talking with Abraham, and then he rains fire on Sodom from Yahweh that is in heaven. Both Yahweh, they are both equal as, you know, the eternal God. Then you go to Exodus chapter 3. So we go over to Exodus chapter 3 here. Exodus chapter 3, and you find the story of Moses in the burning bush. Moses sees the burning bush. He turns aside to see in verse 3. And the Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. And Moses asks him, what is his name? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now if we go back over to John again in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, we find the claims of Jesus. What is Jesus claiming about himself? John chapter 8. So we've got to remember that as a human being, Jesus was subordinate to the Father in all things. There was nothing that Jesus did in his own power. He never worked his own miracles. He relied on the power of the Father because he was setting an example for us, and he was doing things that we are able to do when we rely on exactly the same power.
Yep. So while he was living as a human, you're meaning? Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But does that mean that he ceased to be God? In verse 56 of John chapter 8, Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. In other words, Abraham saw me. Abraham met me. And then the Jews said to him, you're not even yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, listen to this right here, before Abraham was, I am. And when he takes the name I am, he proclaims himself as the great self-existent God, the ruler and creator of the universe. The Jews knew exactly what he was claiming, and that he had claimed to be God. In verse 59, they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the middle of them, and so passed by. And so, in this particular passage here, it's very clear. Jesus is making it very clear exactly who he is, the great I am. And of course, the name I am is a name of eternity. It is a name of existence. It's a name that shows that he has no origin, that he has no beginning. You find that coming through once again in the book of Colossians. There are so many verses on this that we could go on. You've just got to tell me when I've got to finish up here, because
we've only got one minute left. Unfortunately, we're less than a minute.
Keep going from one verse to another to another to another here. Here in Colossians, he is before all things. So Jesus, speaking about Jesus, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so Jesus has existed from eternity. He has always been here. He will always be here. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Equality. John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. John 10, verse 30, we read that a moment ago. I and my Father are one. John 14, verse 9, we read that one. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on in the form of a servant. So once again, another passage where Paul explains this relationship where Jesus becomes a human being.
Yep.
Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him lives all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The entire Godhead in Jesus.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to have to cut you off there.
I've got about another 10 verses to go through, but that's okay.
We can send those through. If you want to send them to me, I will send them through to Sadhu so that they can look at it and, hopefully get some more closure to that answer for them. That's it. This is our last question of the day segment for the Afternoons with Shell Show. And it's been a blessing doing this with you, Lyle. And I know that you were going to continue on doing Question of the Day in a few weeks' time when there is a new show established for you. And who knows, maybe we can even have some Question of the Day still in at this time slot at 5 o'clock.
Sending your questions through. Don't stop sending them through because it's really, really important to get your questions, and we will be answering them on the new show at the same time.
That's right. That's right. So thank you, everybody, for being faithful listeners to the Afternoons with Shell show and here to Question of the Day. And God bless you all.